The book of Psalm, Psalm 34. We will get to James, but it'll be later on. While you're doing that, I want to greet everyone and say hello to those of you who are tuning in and listening on our website, the YouTube channel. Our camera is not working this morning, so we apologize for that and for all the difficulties and problems that has been going on. Technology is great as long as it works, and it's just not been working lately. The radio broadcast did not get to go out, so we had to repeat last week's. So it's all kinds of difficulties. Pray for those poor guys that are beleaguered back there in media. They have really been having challenges with the equipment, but hopefully we can get that straightened out this week. But we do thank you for listening, and we thank you for your patience with all of the glitches that are going on. But if you come live and in person, it doesn't matter about technology. I don't even need a microphone. It's just therefore those of you that are hard of hearing. Psalm 34. David said, I will bless the Lord at all times. Notice the first two words, I will. That sets the tone for this hymn to be sung as a praise of worship to the Lord. And what David has done is he has determined to do this in his will. Just as Daniel did when he first arrived at Babylon in a foreign country, in a foreign culture, in an atheistic, idolatrous culture. He was faced with temptations. He was faced with things he never saw in Jerusalem, but he was raised and taught to serve the Lord and to be obedient to his word. And so it said that he purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the Babylonian dining habits that went against the dietary laws in God's word. So he said he was not going to defile himself with the meat and with the wine that the king served. So he requested to have pulse. He requested to have a bowl of oatmeal so that he would not disobey God's word. But that purposing in the heart, you see it when you see these two words, I will. And as James says, keep yourself unspotted from the world. Keep yourself undefiled, uninfluenced by the culture that you find yourself in, by a Marxist, by a heathenist, by an atheist culture. Don't buy into it. Keep serving the Lord regardless of the culture you find yourself in. Daniel was ripped up from his home, from a culture that was serving God, into a place of captivity, into someone who didn't know the Lord and totally disregarded the Lord. We have no excuse not to serve the Lord. Even in difficult times, even in unsettling times that we find ourselves in. That doesn't determine whether we worship, whether we praise, whether we serve the Lord or not. He said, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth, regardless of who got elected and who didn't. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. You see, people are listening. And we're influencing people, whether you want to or not. Christians are influencing people, either for the good or for the bad. And what we're supposed to be doing is influencing people for the good with this truth that we hold in our hands and we're to live and practice in our lives. And the red flag is when you begin to say things that are not complementary with the character of Jesus Christ, which don't go along. I mean, can you imagine Jesus Christ coming into a room and saying, "Boy, it stinks in here. Somebody needs to take a bath. Boy, it's hot or it's cold. Or why are you wearing that? Why isn't so-and-so here? I can tell you why so-and-so's not here. They're doing this." And that's not the character of Jesus Christ. And it should not be our character. But from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So we're putting too much junk into our heart, and that's why so much junk is coming out of our mouth. Magnify the Lord with me. That's what happens when God's people gets together. The Holy Spirit is on the inside of us. And the ministry of the Holy Spirit is to manifest the presence of Jesus Christ. So when more of God's people get together, more of the presence of Jesus Christ is manifested. Magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt His name together. That's why we're here. You can't get this on the internet. You can't get face-to-face fellowship out of a book. Verse 4, I sought the Lord, and He heard me and delivered me from all my fears. Please note the word fears. Verse 5, they looked unto Him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps round about them that fear Him and delivers them. Please note the word in verse 7, fear. It's the same word as in verse 4, but there's two completely different definitions. Definition number 1 in verse 4, the fear there is an emotional reaction that is triggered when your mind realizes that an impending danger is about to take place. Somebody is about to make you eat liver. And so that results, that kind of fear is terror. It's horror. It makes you scared and afraid. Definition number 2 from the fear in verse 7 is a spiritual action. That fear is a spiritual action that's triggered when your faith realizes the presence of the Lord in these words of Scripture. That kind of fear is reverence. It's awe. It's respect. It's honor. The context will always define which of the two definitions will apply. Stay in Psalm 34, but run over to 55. Psalm 55, I want to show you definition number 1 acted out by David. Psalm 55, he said, give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not thyself from my supplication. Attend unto me and hear me. I mourn in my complaint and make a noise. because of the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked, for they cast iniquity upon me, and in wrath they hate me. Must have been a Baptist preacher. My heart is sore pained within me, and the terrors of death are fallen upon me. Verse 5, fearfulness and trembling are come upon me, and horror hath overwhelmed me. Now, look at how he reacted. See, this is definition number one, this kind of fear in verse 5. Verse 6, he said, oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then would I fly away and be at rest. Lo, then would I wander far off and remain in the wilderness. I'd run away and hide till the danger was over. That's always the temptation with this kind of a fear. Verse 22. What a change the end of Psalm 55 than at the beginning. He said, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. But thou, O God, shall bring them down into the pit of destruction. Bloody and deceitful men shall not live out half their days, but I will trust in thee. That's the solution. Trust God. Fear God. Definition number two. Courage is not the absence of fear. Courage is acting in spite of the fear that's in your emotions. Paul was scared to death to speak in front of people. Man, can I identify with him. He told the Corinthians in chapter 2, he said, I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. He said, I didn't want your faith, your confidence to be in me, but in the power of God, the wisdom of God, not the wisdom of men. You don't need to be trained in public speaking to preach or to proclaim God's word or to tell people what the gospel is. You just need to love God and be filled with the wisdom and the power and the strength of the Holy Spirit. I remember I used to throw up before I had to preach. I was so afraid. And weakness and in fear and in much, there was much trembling. I can hardly turn the pages of the Bible. Now, I don't throw up anymore, but I still get sick at my stomach. I can't eat anything before or after I preach. I've just learned that. And that's I have stopped trying to change myself. That's who I was when God called me. But that hasn't kept me from speaking. As a matter of fact, when I don't, there's something that is going on in the pit of my stomach besides fear. It's a fire. When I can't say what God has put in my heart to say, it bottles up in me. Kind of like Jeremiah when he quit. He didn't stay quit long. Somebody always asked me, how do you know when God's called you to preach? I said, well, that's easy when you can't do anything else but that. Your wife asks you a question and you just start preaching. Just comes out. She'll every now and then roll her eyes and say, you want me to take up the offering now? Verse 8 of Psalm 34. Taste and see that the Lord's good. Don't just hear about him. See for yourself. Experience for yourself that these words are words from God and reveal who He is. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusts in Him. You want to be blessed? You want to be happy? You want to live in an abundance of joy? Trust God with your life. Put all of your care on Him. Verse 9. And fear. Fear the Lord, you His saints, for there is no want to them that fear Him. Definition number 2, not definition number 1. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger. But they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Look around. Do you see anyone suffering lack? Just wait till the service is over and we go back to the fellowship hall. There is no lack there. God takes care of us. Do we appreciate it? Do we thank Him? Do we recognize where those blessings come from? When you serve the Lord, when you sacrifice for the Lord, you can't really call it a sacrifice. It's an investment. Verse 11, come ye children, hearken unto me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Verse 8 says, blessed is the man that trusts in Him. That's the application of faith. When you trust, that's the action of faith, which is faith being the application of the Scriptures, the words of God to a situation. But here's the dilemma. Faith is telling your mind to tell your body to trust. But the emotions in your body is telling your mind to doubt. And your legs to run. Doubt is unbelief. The opposite of faith. Now, who wins is determined by your will. Not your mind. You can know something is wrong, but have no power to overcome it. It's when your mind and your will join forces. When you purpose in your heart what God has said, that's when faith becomes an action. Now, remember how Psalm 34 began. David said, I will. I determine that this is what I'm going to do. I will. Those are powerful words. They can determine good or evil in how you live your life. Before Lucifer became Satan, in Isaiah 14, he said in his heart, he purposed in his heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. So you can determine in your heart to do what's wrong and to justify it. You can determine in your heart that I don't believe that. I'm going to do it this way. And when you're not able to do it, the frustration comes out of your mouth. That's why so many people stay aggravated all the time. They're always complaining. They're always fussing about something. It's because they can't have their will. But David said, I will bless the Lord at all times. When you hit your thumb with a hammer, you can bless the Lord or you can curse the Lord. But the bottom line is, it's your fault. You weren't paying any attention to what you were doing. Don't blame God. You said, I'll bless the Lord at all times, good times and bad times, peaceful times, unsettling times. I am going to bless the Lord because I've determined that that's what I'm going to do. Now, when your will matches God's will that He's revealed in the Bible, that is a powerful force for good in your life. Because without the power of God, you can say, I will be a millionaire all you want to. David said, I will praise the Lord continually with my mouth, with what I say. People will know that I love the Lord and that I belong to Him by how I talk. I will love and worship the Lord when everything's going good and when everything's going bad. He determined it in his heart like Daniel did, in his soul, in his will. Before anything had happened. That's what's missing in so many Christians' lives. And that's what James is saying in his book, and especially in chapter 1, which we'll get to in just a minute. But let's finish up Psalm 34. He said, verse 11, come, ye children, hearken unto me, listen to me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Nobody has to teach you to be afraid of the monsters under your bed or in your closet or in the dark or in your imagination. That comes natural to this fallen sin nature that we were born with, the flesh. But the fear of the Lord, the honor and the reverence of the Lord, the worship of the Lord, to believe His words, to trust what He says, to worship Him, to bless and to praise Him, to serve Him, to live for Him. That's totally unnatural and foreign to the natural mind and to the emotions and to the flesh. How in the world can a 90-year-old woman have a baby by a 100-year-old man? Your mind's not going to be able to understand that. It doesn't have to. All the mind has to comprehend is that someone who created the universe can do anything that he wills to do. It's a trust not in your understanding. It's a trust in God and what He said. That's why in Romans 4, Abraham said he considered not the deadness of Sarah's womb, he considered who it was that said she's going to have a baby. That's faith. It's taking God at His word, whether you understand it or not, or even whether you agree with it or not. You see, we have to learn that. He said, come and I'll teach you that. So we have to learn the fear of the Lord. The service of the Lord. We have to be discipled through His word. We have to be trained. And hopefully that's one of the main reasons that you've committed yourself to be here whenever the Lord's people assemble together. if God is first and foremost in your life, then serving Him and worshiping Him privately and publicly are first and foremost as well. You see, the fellowship in the same place with others is absolutely essential, and it's key to your normal spiritual growth and development. If all you do is listen to sermons on the internet, you're not going to grow. Because as soon as it becomes uncomfortable, or as soon as something is said you don't agree with, you flip it off. And you only listen to what you agree with, so you're never challenged that maybe what you believe is wrong according to the Scripture. And plus, you need to be around older Christians who mentor and model the behavior and the character of Jesus Christ. And you need to be around younger Christians so that you can do that. We have to learn about the life of Christ that's in us so that it will come out of us and not be hid under a bushel. So that the life of Christ will come out of us, not our life, not the life of the flesh. What we're saying and what we're doing is destroying the witness and the testimony of Jesus Christ to other people. Verse 12. What man is he that desires life and loves many days that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. That's if you want to see good days. If you want to see blessings, if you want to experience joy, then control your mouth. Control what you say. Verse 14, depart from evil and do good. Well, this is really deep and it's really hard to understand, isn't it? Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. Paul said in Romans, as much as lies within you, live peaceably with all men. And we're back to James chapter 1, are we not? Now, put one finger in Psalm 34 and go to James chapter 1. Okay, I'm through with the introduction. Now I'm going to start the message. Just kidding. But hopefully I've laid the foundation for the conclusion that we're going to be in James chapter 1. Verse 21, James 1, 21. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. Right? That's verse 14 of Psalm 34. Depart from evil. Lay it aside, James says. Now verse 22. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Verse 27, pure religion, pure Christianity, and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit, not pay a visit, but to relieve the needs of the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. There's do good. Verse 21, depart from evil. Verse 27, do good. Verse 22, do good by being doers of the word. Verse 26, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, that doesn't control what he's saying, but deceives his own heart, this man's religion is vain, it's empty, it's worthless. It's of no value. There's verse 26 of Psalm 34. I'm sorry, verse 13 of Psalm 34. Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. You see, James is talking to young Christians here that if we don't respond to what God is saying in His Word to us by faith, we deceive ourselves. We forget ourselves. And we corrupt ourselves. And the test of that, of doing the Word, is in control of the tongue, compassion for the least, and contempt for the world system. And in this area of being afraid and the fear of God, it reveals unbelief and doubt in what God said, a lack of faith and trust. In other words, we're deceiving ourselves if we think we're doing God's word and we're afraid of our shadow. What is that saying to the world? Or we allow our fear to control us and to control our behavior and speech. Or allowing it to keep us from doing what God has called us and gifted us to do. The articles on the internet and the news media feed your fears. It causes you to turn in and listen to the commercials. If crime is going to keep you from getting out and around other people, then the coronavirus certainly will, even more so. But before the coronavirus, there is the flu, which you had a better chance of getting. Then there was the other million viruses and germs that's out there. What about the chance of getting food poisoning? Or getting into a wreck? Folks, we cannot live our lives in constant fear of the what if. You'll never be an effective Christian witness of the power and the love of Jesus Christ. And you will never get to a place that you serve Him and serve the commission that we've been given to go into the world. Not isolate ourselves from the world. We're making the same mistake Adam and Eve did after the fall. When they heard the voice of God, the words of God, they were afraid and they ran and they hid from God. How can we minister to the widows, the single mothers, the fatherless children, and to the lost if we're afraid to go and be around them? Folks, purpose in your heart, as Daniel did, to serve and to worship the Lord and to be undefiled from the temptations of the world and sin. To be doers of His Word. Do what He says. Lost folks. The Bible said in Romans 2 that the goodness of God leads you to repentance of sin. The fact that He's good. Everything you hear about God is bad from the world, from people who don't know Him. Just the opposite. He's good. He offers mercy through His Son, Jesus Christ. But I want to tell you something. If you reject that goodness and that offer of mercy, one day you're going to stand before Him. And Hebrews 10 says that it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Isaiah says, fearfulness hath surprised the hypocrites. Those who thought that because they did good, they were good. Those who went through a ceremony thinking they were right with God. All of a sudden, they were surprised to hear the words, "I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity." Receive his invitation this morning. Trust him. To trust him with your eternal soul instead of yourself or somebody else. Right now, today, is the day of salvation. Saved folks, we did that. We responded one day to that invitation in his word to receive him. And that life came into us. Now, we need to respond in the same way to his word when the Lord says, "I want that life that I put in you to come out from you to where it affects other people in your family, on the job, at school, those in the community who do not know who God is. They can only know through us. And we have to be honest and faithful ambassadors to show them who Jesus Christ is. And we can only do that when we say, I will purpose that that's the way I'm going to live my life because that's what God wills for me to do." And the joy, the peace, the contentment, the fulfillment that you're trying to get in the world and never will, you'll find it in him and in obedience to his word. Father, we thank you this morning that we don't have to grope about in darkness and depend and trust on ourselves to determine what's right and wrong, what we should be doing, what we should be deciding. Lord, you've given us your word. And then with salvation, you've given us the spiritual ability to discern your word and to trust your words and put our life into your hands, our decisions into your hands. And when we do that, what a blessing, what a joy is experienced by us. Lord, when we don't, we pay a price. And the people that you've placed in our life that were supposed to be influenced by us are not. Lord, I pray that your word has been received this morning, and that your people this morning would purpose, determine in their soul, in their will, that they're going to do what your word says and be faithful in doing it. Lord, for those who've never received you, may they do it right now. We pray in Jesus' name.